Okay, so today we're going deep. Medieval Europe. You ready for this?
Always ready for a good deep dive.
That's what I like to hear. Now, you guys provided us with podcast vocabulary, Deep Dive Topic 6, Lesson 1, 2, and 3. A lot of vocabra.
Right. But don't worry, we're going way beyond just definitions today.
Exactly. We're going to uncover the stories, the drama, all that good stuff that makes this period so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being able to put an actual price tag on a human life.
That's a wild thought.
Right. And that's just one example of what we're going to get into. So let's lay some groundwork. Our source kicks off with the Carolingian Empire.
A pretty influential empire definitely set the stage for a lot of what we think of as classic medieval Europe.
Okay, so Charlemagne, right. He was the big guy in charge. But our source says he was super into education and the arts.
Yeah, he was a big supporter of the whole Carolingian Renaissance thing, you know, when art and knowledge were really flourishing.
So, like, not the Dark Ages everyone talks about.
Well, it's complicated, but yeah, Charlemagne definitely helped shake things up.
Interesting. But what about feudalism? Because I feel like you can't talk medieval Europe without talking feudalism.
You're absolutely right. It was like the backbone of medieval society. Kings, vassals, knights, fiefs.
Wait, hold on. Break that down for me. What are vassals and fiefs again?
So picture it like this. The king owns all the land, but he can't manage it all himself. So he grants pieces of it, these are the fiefs, to loyal nobles called vassals. In exchange, those vassals promise him military service and loyalty. It's a whole system of obligation and
Protection.
exactly, and the agreement that holds it all together. That's the feudal contract.
Okay, that makes sense. But I bet those contracts were pretty flexible sometimes, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. There was a lot of room for interpretation and maybe even a bit of manipulation, depending on who had more power.
Sounds like a recipe for some drama.
Yeah.
So where does everyone else fit into this? You know, the people who aren't kings and knights.
That's where the manor system comes in. Think of it like a self-sufficient little world centered around a big estate owned by a lord.
And the peasants, the serfs, work the land for him.
Exactly. They were tied to the land, owed the lord labor and a share of their crops. It wasn't exactly a glamorous life.
But it was life for a lot of people back then. But hey, our source mentions this cool invention, the carruca. The type of heavy plow, right?
It is, and it was revolutionary.
Seriously, how so?
It allowed farmers to till the land way more efficiently. More food, bigger harvests, which led to a population boom.
Well, hold up. You're saying a plow led to more people?
Pretty much. More food meant more people could be supported. And that had ripple effects. Towns grew, trade increased.
Wow, talk about unintended consequences.
It really goes to show how interconnected everything was.
Totally. Okay, so we've got feudalism, the manor system, but then there's the elephant in the room, the church.
The church was absolutely a major player in medieval Europe, not just in terms of faith, but also power.
Right. I mean, they had their own land, the Papal States,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. And the church was involved in pretty much every aspect of daily life. Births, deaths, marriages. You needed the church for everything.
So they had a lot of influence. And then there were the Crusades. You can't really talk medieval Europe without mentioning them.
True, but the Crusades weren't just about religion.
Really?
Yeah, there were economic motives, political ambitions, even just a desire for adventure and maybe moving up in the world.
Huh, never thought of it that way.
It was complicated. Brutal, for sure, but it also led to some cultural exchange and trade between Europe and the East.
Okay, that's a whole other deep dive. We'll save that for another day. But hey, remember that whole price tag on a human life thing?
War guild.
Yeah, that. It was about compensation, right?
Right. Say someone was murdered, instead of punishing the killer with, like, jail time, they had to pay the victim's family.
And the amount depended on the person's social status.
Exactly. Crazy to think about, isn't it?
It really highlights how differently they've used life back then. And then there's the whole trial by ordeal thing.
Ah, yes, leaving justice in God's hands, literally.
It's just wild to think about sticking your hand in boiling water to prove your innocence.
They believed God would protect the innocent, so surviving the ordeal was seen as proof.
It's so different from how we think about justice today.
Absolutely. But within their worldview, it made sense.
We've covered a lot of ground today: feudalism, manors, the church, the Crusades, even medieval justice. It's amazing how much we can learn from looking back at this period.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? Like, what aspects of medieval Europe do we still see around us today, and what can we learn from it all?
That's something to think about. So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
And who knows, maybe we'll see you in the next deep dive.